if we do offering and announcements at the very end of service? Is that okay? Because I just feel an urgency to get right into the Word tonight and really just have you understand how much God loves you. Amen? Come on. Do you believe in here that God loves you? Ah, amen, amen, amen. You know, I think sometimes we say that, but, you know, I then see what we deal with in our minds. We say that, oh, yeah, God loves me, but then... you know, I know what it's like when you really love, like with me, I bother Regina so much, I get to the point where she says, Philip, leave me alone. What did I do? What's wrong? Oh, I get to the point where I'm serious, I get to the point where, in all honesty, I bother Regina so much that, honey, sometimes you're like, Phil, quit. Stop. Get away from me. Okay. Honey, I love you, but just quit talking. Leave me alone, because I can get consumed, can't I? Regina. Huh? Yeah. Can I do that?
Yes.
Get on your nerves, amen. But listen to me. When you really understand God's love for you, you'll understand that God doesn't sleep nor slumber. He has had more thoughts about you, Jared, and you, handsome little one, and you, Miss Linda, than the sand, not just the sand on the sea. See, we get religious and we limit God. I used to say that for years. God has more thoughts of you than the sand on the sea. Dumb. The Lord says he has more thoughts of you than the sand. That means the sand in the desert. It means God's thought about you from the beginning of time till now. I'm going to let the children go to children's church. I know all you guys were worried about that. Lily, save me a snack. Oh, save me a snack, Lily. What am I doing? What is it? Oh, okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I curse this pressure, this hindrance, Father, this oppression of the devil on Angel. I curse it. I command that to come off of her in the name of Jesus. Lord, I loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into her. Father, I speak to every hindrance, every oppression, God, every weakness in her body, Father. Lord, the very root of it, God, I curse it and command it to come off of her in Jesus' name. I loose the working of the miracles and healing. And Father, as a church, we stand and agree and thank you, God, that it's done. And we give you all glory, Father, because man can do nothing. Woo! Oh, even Jesus says, I'm fully a man on this earth right now. And of my own self, I can do nothing. But that which I do by the Father can be done without limitation. And in Jesus' name. The Bible says if we ask anything in the Lord's name, our Father in heaven will do it, and we declare it done, angel healed right now, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. I have heard a thousand, multitude, millions times here over ignorant people that don't even know themselves, let alone anything about the world, books, or anything. You know, people are talking about global warming. We only have a few years to live. Do you know that in 1989, they were saying that the earth was going to burn up by 2000? Stop. Stop believing stupidity. Now, I love each and every one of you. But whether you're an old timer like me or they're trying to label people millennials, even I say it sometimes, the millennials, Generation X, dumb. Let's just take all those stupid man-made terms and just throw them away, because I'm telling you, God says that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he ain't ever called anybody a millennial. He ain't ever called anybody a lost cause. He ain't ever called anybody a transgender. God has said that we are his loving children, created in his image, and God is not confused. He has a sound mind, so he knows exactly who you are. You are not a surprise to God. Why are we calling ourselves something? Just stupid stuff. I don't know who or what I am. I might be this or that. No, no, no. Honey, I'm about ready to... Can you plug your ears for a minute? I'm going to keep telling you this over and over. I am being nice, but I'm going to tell you something over and over. If you're confused on what you are or you forget what you are, go privately in the bathroom, drop your joys, in 30 seconds, look down. Woo! Hallelujah! Revelation will come, and you remember, oh, I woke up a man today. I'm going to die a man today. I woke up a woman today. I'm going to die a woman today or whenever that is. Hello!
Hi!
Hi! Amen. Do you agree with me? That's because you're a man filled with wisdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. How old are you? Okay, at 12 years old, you're smarter than some of these people who paid $50,000 for education. No, that little boy, we should put him on TV and get some of these stupid psychologists off and tell them, you wasted $250,000 of education because you, not according to me, according to the Bible, you're ignorant. Now, let me tell you what God says about you. Is that all right? First of all, the Bible's not hate speech. You want to know why? Do you want to know why? I'm going to give you one scripture that should make you say, wow. You know, my wife told somebody one time that she felt confident marrying me just because she saw how loyal I was to the Cleveland Browns. She's... we're talking about real football teams here. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! I have the pulpit. I don't care who you like tonight. I can declare who are not real football teams. The steel curtain has melted. The steel curtains has fallen apart. It was a soft curtain anyway. Hallelujah. But anyhow, I'll just kidding you. Oh, yeah. Listen, we still got a smackdown coming your way. Hey, listen to this, though. I got to tell you something. People, ignorant, silly people, are saying that the Bible is hate speech. Well, I'd like to just go on TV and I just ask them one scripture and I could confound all of them in a moment of time. And bear with me, I'm using another man's Bible tonight because I forgot mine. And thank God for friends that will cover your weaknesses. But I got to just tell you, I mean, this is amazing. Does this sound like hate speech to you? In Matthew 18, verse 21, and this is what Jesus said, if the words in red, they're true. No matter what the science and psychologists say, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me before I can bust him in the forehead? It says, how often does my brother get to sin against me and I have to forgive him? Till seven times? Because let me tell you something. He's already offended me eight times. I'm hoping you say seven times because I'm going to go hit him in the jaw right now. Now, this is where you know how much God loves you. Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I want you to know that the other scripture says 70 times seven in one day. If I'm giving you hate speech tonight, tell me what other language out there, what other country out there, what other person out there? I tell you what, you look at some of these political people and they can't forgive the duly elected president for just being elected. And they ain't been able to forgive him for 2.5, 3 years now. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault Americans put him in there. Call us crazy, but we did it. But I'm saying that they ain't forgiven him in 3 years just for winning a fair competition. And here the Bible says that I have to forgive Miss Jeannie 70 times 7. That's 490 times in one day. Amen. Does that sound like hate speech to you? And here's what's really weird. If the Lord says, Chad, I want you to forgive a man or your wife or me, or the stranger or the guy that pulled out in front of you, the bum at work that don't do his job and you got to cover for him, the person that cuts in front of you at the grocery store, ooh, the person that got in front of me when I was trying to buy my Big Mac. I got to forgive that person 70 times 7, 490 times in one day. You know what's amazing about God? He leads by example, so he would never ask us to do something that he wouldn't do. In fact, what he says is that anything you do as a natural person, I will do unlimited times more than what you can do. So our God can't be a hate speaker if he's willing to forgive us more than 490 times in one day, huh? Praise God. Can I take Bible being hate speech off the table?
Yes.
We can't even forgive our friends three times in a day. And heaven forbid some of you husbands out there, heaven forbid your wife taking care of three kids, handling in your poopy, messy pants. You know, sometimes trying to clean up a man's dirty work underwear is harder than cleaning up your baby's poopy diaper. I mean, you got to bleach it. I remember my mama, even my own diapers, even my own underwear. My mama used to bleach that thing and all kinds of crazy stuff. And here we are getting such an attitude just because our wife didn't have dinner on the table when I came in. Clown, grow up. Stop by and get yourself a bologna sandwich, that beer you're cheating and drinking, which you shouldn't even be putting in yourself. Stop and get a bologna sandwich and get your appetite off of you and give your wife a break if your dinner's 30 minutes late, you little clown. I love you. I'm not hate speech. I'm talking straight. Is anybody besides my wife offended and scared about what I'm saying tonight? No, we're real talkers. Real talk. Hello, hallelujah. Can we be real? Okay. Okay, I'll calm down and I'll talk hermeneutically correct in the church. Hello. I don't want to say anything to hurt your feelings. God is love. My mama was love too. That's why I had a warm rear end every now and then. God is love. My wife is love too. That's why every time she has to tell me, Philip, shut up. Hallelujah. I mean, how is it that if we don't correct our children, then we could be arrested, right? If a mom had a child that burnt his hands on the stove and the police came, and they said, why'd your child burn your hands? Well, I just didn't want to tell them no. So even though the burner was on red hot, little Johnny wanted to touch the stove. I did turn it off. I mean, I turned it off within a second of him touching it, but he wanted to touch it. So I just let him keep his hand on there for 15. That's why it's burnt down and he's got no meat left. We'd be saying, what is wrong with you throwing that person in jail? Then how come when the Lord teaches us how to not get burnt, how to keep our hands out of the fire, how to live this life right, how to be blessed and how to live a good life, we want to puff up, attitude up, and act like he's a bad God because we want to be spoiled brats. That's what we want because that's what you're raising. You want a generation with no accountability. You don't want to have to tell your kids nothing. You don't want to tell them no. And unfortunately, you think you can do that with God. And really, I tell you what, children need discipline, and so do us as Christians. We need to be told yes and no. We need to learn how to live this life. If you didn't need instruction, you wouldn't be so goofed up right now. And I'm not saying that mean to you because I know what it's like. You can ask Pastor Regina. When she met me, I wasn't as cool as I am now. I couldn't take her to Hawaii. I couldn't even buy her a sandwich. I tell you what, I thank God for the one day I was trying to put her on a good date that I had a plastic plate, could cut up some hot dogs and make some Kraft macaroni and cheese and try to impress her. I'll never forget the time I said, honey, if you marry me, I'll buy you diamonds. And at that time, Regina was like, honey, listen. Why don't you just learn how to feed us every day and give me a sandwich on Thursday, hallelujah, and let me eat one on Friday? Right now, baby, I love the idea of diamonds, but can we just pay our bills? Can we just keep our electric on? Can we just eat a meal Friday before we get paid and have $5 left in the checking account? Hallelujah. Amen. Tell her to show you her hands. Not today. You didn't wear... Girl, you made me work hard, spend all that money on them fancy rings, proving... What, girl? You don't even have your wedding ring on. Bammo, come on. Woo, woo. You can't touch this tonight. Okay, listen. Hey, listen to this. Woo, I got to tell you something. Think about it. Have you ever had a teacher, even a mother, a father, a sister, a best friend, tell you, hey, listen, you can mistreat me 4,000 times in a day. I'm going to forgive you and love you. Hate speech? I don't think so. From now on, you're going to understand something, that when I preach this gospel, even if it steps on your toes, even if it hurts you, just think about a baby putting its hand on a hot stove. If I don't tell you the full... Listen, you think parents are accountable? Jeannie, do you understand? And not that you ever have, but if I were to say something that you got mad about and you gave me an attitude about it, and I backed up, do you understand that I could risk my salvation? I mean, have you ever noticed that every child that takes drugs, every child that drives drunk, every person that does what they want to do and get themselves in a bad situation, they're always mad at the people that love them the most. When our mother tells us, no, we can't do something, we hate our mother just because she's keeping you out of some place where you might get drunk, raped, killed, robbed, or stolen from. And I mean, we'll puff up and get mad at the people that love us most. And that's what people do with God. They want him to give them salvation. They want him to pick them up and clean them up. They want him to pick them up when they're puking from being drunk, when I've drugged overdose, when I lose my 10th job, when I lose this. Oh, God, help me. But then once he helps you and straightens up and tells you, you got to change your underwear and you got to dress up and put a little deodorant under your arms, then you want to puff up. I mean, when are we as a church going to quit acting like 5, 4, 6, 7, 8, 16-year-olds and 12-years-old? And when are we going to grow up and read the Bible and say, if God was smart enough to create the world, if God came up with the way of creating the world and keeping it going when everybody else is spending millions of dollars telling us how it's going to fail. Do you know I've been hearing, not that I've been alive this long, maybe I just listened to the old videos, but I've been hearing from the 1970s that we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of this. It was so bad when I was a lone boy that on Sundays we would cook these big meals for the pastors and everybody else, tons of chicken chad. But when you go up in the country broke, your parents can only make 2 or 3 chicken breasts. So they're trying to impress the pastor, or they're trying to impress the relative, so the relative gets the chicken breast, which means I'm stuck waiting until the leftovers come, and I'm taking neck bones and trying to scratch something off of old chicken wing. I got to tell you something. My 8-year-old faith was enough to create 50 billion chickens being processed every day in 2017 and beyond. You know why? Because, Nate, I used to cry taking them chicken bones out. Lord, I pray that when I get older, I can have a piece of chicken breast. Jesus, please provide chicken breast. I tell you what, I looked up, I think it was 2016, 2015, I looked up, there's 50 million chickens processed a year all around the world, just so Phil Walker can have a wing if I want a wing, a drumstick if I want a drumstick, and a chicken thigh if I want a chicken thigh. And the Lord had to wait, because when I was, 18, I couldn't afford it. When I was in my 20s, me and Regina used to have a $20 budget, and I used to still just have to buy drumsticks, didn't we, baby? So the Lord needed to give me a few more years of working so that I can buy me a chicken wing. So right now, all of y'all should feel blessed that you can go to KFC, Wendy's, you can go to Taco Bell, you can go anywhere and get you some chicken, because Phil Walker, when he was 8 years old, way out in the country. I didn't say you can get chicken wings at Taco Bell, but you can get chicken. Amen. Amen. But what I'm telling you is, That was Phil Walker's faith when he was 8 years old. Change your destiny. What could your faith do for your family, for your friends, if right now you would just consider that if the Lord could forgive a person 50 million times in a day, that you could be forgiven enough to just reboot your life, start right now, ask God to help you, and change your destiny. If you can find me a book, no, don't, because I don't know what's out there in those science fiction books, but I do know what's in the Bible. And I do know that nobody ever better call my Bible hate speech again, because I don't know where you can go to whatever God. I guarantee you Buddha ain't forgiving you 490 times in a day. I guarantee you Allah ain't forgiving you 490 times in a day. And I guarantee you Satan ain't forgiving you 490 times in a day. Now, I want you to understand what the Lord says, because he's such a hard God. I mean, he's a tough God to please, right? Right? That's what you always hear, right? He's a God of judgment. He's a hard God, and he's ready to turn people. Oh, God sends people to hell. No, you sign yourself up voluntarily. Do you have to sign up for the Boy Scouts? Do you have to sign up to be a football player? You even have to buy expensive stuff, don't you? Do you have to sign up to go to work? You even have to sign up for welfare, don't you? So you think God just automatically puts you in hell? No, you have to sign up for it. You have to work for it. You have to reject God. You have to make your own decisions. You have to let pride come into your life. You have to fight against God with your whole life. You have to spend your whole life hating God, fighting against him, making mistakes, doing all you can to not be saved. You have to tell God no 1,000 times a day to sign up for hell. You sign up for hell. What's your name? Ethan, listen, here in Canton, you're allowed to talk loud. You can use your outside voice. I'm going to ask you again, what's your name?
Ethan.
Thank you, sir. I don't need you to whisper in church. Whatever you thought that was true, that's a lie. Don't go to church where they want it so quiet you fall asleep. If it's quiet in here, it better be, because God has come and caused us all to fall out. But Ethan, I want you to know something. No matter where you've been, if you've never been in church before, if you have and you just walked away, I want you to know something, Ethan. In order to go to jail in America, you have to do what? Something illegal, right? Now, if I don't do anything illegal, I can put gas in my car. I can drive anywhere I want to, anytime I want to. I can go to the gas station at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's going to bother me. I can get up, sleep in. I can turn my TV on. I'm allowed to pee in my yard if I want to, as long as I ain't out by the side of the road. I can go to the woods and pee in my yard. I can poop outside. I can do whatever I want to. As long as I'm doing it in my own space, I'm okay, aren't I, Ethan? That's how much liberty God gives you. Have you ever heard someone come to, has anyone ever come to church and said, I was out fishing this weekend and I had to pee so bad that I had to lean over the boat and pee, and God struck me dead? No, you're never going to hear that. So what I'm telling you is, if God lets you live this life as long as you live his way, then God doesn't send people to hell. People reject him, disrespect him, devalue him, act like he's not the God of the universe, and they sign themselves up for hell. Just like you sign yourself up for unemployment, just like you sign yourself up to go to a job, just like you sign yourself up to get married, just like you sign yourself up to get a driver's license. Nathan, if you go to hell, it's nobody's responsibility but yours. You can't blame me or anybody. It ain't my bad mama's fault. It ain't my daddy's fault. Because God comes in, forgives, and offers enough grace that at any point in your life, from the time you are a zero baby all the way up till you breathe your last breath, if you die at 68 and go to hell, it's your fault. If you die at 90 and go to hell, it's your fault. If you die at 120, go to hell, it's your fault. Now, there's a lot of grace in there, because if you were to get killed in an accident, and you were 5, 10, or 20, or 80 years old, and you got killed in an accident, the Lord says that he gives mercy to whom he gives mercy to, because God can forgive anybody at any time, any way he wants to, and accidents are going to happen, and God's grace covers all that. But I'm telling you that on a day-to-day basis, you make a choice about whether you are going to go to heaven or go to hell. I said, if you cry out for the Lord at any time, you're going to go. But if you choose to die without asking God's for salvation, you signed up for hell. God didn't send you there. There's clubs I've tried to get into before, like the KKK club. They didn't let me in. You guys think I'm lying. I had some boys that were so crazy when we were young. We might try to get into places that we weren't allowed to get into. I won't tell you that story on camera. But anyhow, what I will tell you is this right here. You're not going, well, if you allow the devil to get you involved in certain things, you will go a whole ton of places you never wanted to go. But if you keep yourself together and you're a person, you have the authority to not end up in jail or anywhere you don't want to go. And God would never make you go somewhere you don't sign up for. That's why the Bible says, what is it, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Can someone look up Deuteronomy chapter 30? I think it's verse 6. Can we get that up there? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. I don't think I looked that up. Maybe it's in there somewhere. I'm looking for where the Lord says that I put before you life and death. Can you look that up, somebody? Yeah. It's in Deuteronomy. I thought it was 36. But in my humanity, Chad, I'm wrong. But I'm not wrong about what's in the Word. And you know, Jesus never worried about quoting the verse, did he? Yeah. He just said it's written. So it's in there. Find it, honey. 30:15. I knew it was 30. Why would I go to 36? That's the number of man anyway. 30:15 is the number of a triple portion of God's grace, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Verse 30:15 says, so I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Wow. So here's, let's keep reading. Next verse. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Wow, so if you do things God's way instead of your way, you're going to be blessed. Next verse. But if thine heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, Satan, yourself, drugs, Allah, Buddha, Hudade, I don't know what other gods are out there, and serve them, next verse, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. God is saying, if you will do it this way, you live. But if you want to do it your own way, then I'm telling you what happens. It's like this. If you stop at the stop sign, you're going to be safe and you're not going to get a ticket. If you blow through it, you're either going to crash, hurt somebody, or eventually the police are going to pull you over, give you a ticket, and after so many times, they're going to take you to jail. Go to the next verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Does it sound like hate speech? God is so fair and open and honest that he puts it out there in black and white. He's more transparent than the laws of the land. He's more transparent than our parents. He's more transparent than the police. I mean, it doesn't get any more transparent, I don't think, than yellow means caution, red means stop, and green means go. God has made it this easy for you to understand that you have to choose. They're not leaving because they're mad. They have to go. Yes. Hey, Ethan, you going to come back? Yep. You enjoyed yourself, didn't you? I'm sorry you have to go because the best part's yet to come. But next time you'll be included. All right, God. Hey, Miss Alyssa, see you later. So here's what I want you to understand. Right now, I want you to hear this. Hear me, please. Do you see anywhere in there where God of the universe, even though he has the authority to, do you see anywhere in there where he said, you don't have a choice? I'm going to send you to hell. There are special people that have a right to go to heaven, and there's other people that are already condemned to hell. So if you can't find that in the scripture, quit believing goofy people, whether they preach and have thousands of dollars or not. Quit believing people that try to tell you you cannot go to heaven or you are destined to hell or God's only going to pick six and no more and there's only a handful. Stop it. You have every right to go to heaven as myself or anybody else. God has no respect of persons, does he? What that means is just like nobody's going to come up to you and stand there and say, you can't eat a Big Mac today because you ate a Whopper yesterday. God is not saying that you can't go to heaven today just because you said no yesterday. We could make mistakes all our life. We could oppose God. We could be angry at God. Now, I'm not suggesting you do. But people are hurt and broken by people, and they end up blaming God. And until they understand differently, they think God opposes them, when the truth is God's saying, no, 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 listen, you're going to meet some people that just are people. But I'm God. I don't change. I don't lie. And I promise you that I have just as much future for you today as I've had for any person in the Bible, and I have just as much future as you today as I will 1,000 years from now. Woo! He says, my promises are passed down to 1,000 generations. I am the Lord God. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. My son, Jesus Christ, has been redeeming people from the grave from even before the time he went to the cross. But since that time till now, Jesus has never said no to one person that has come to him with a sincere heart. God doesn't require all these things that we require. We're the church that wants people to clean up before they come. Wrong. You got to do this. You got to do this. No, I'm going to show you what the Lord says in his love. We're going to show you what God says to you and God says about you and God says for you. And let me tell you something. If it's something God says, it's unchangeable. The Lord says, my word will never fade away. The Lord says, my word does not return to me void. God says, what I said 1,000,000 years from now will exist 1,000,000,000 years from now. I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says it is the word of God that has framed the very structures of this earth. And I tell you what, the sun's been raising every day, the earth's been producing every day, and even when naysayers said that we're going to run out of gas, we're going to run out of energy, we're going to run out of this, we got more. You know, I wish some of those people were alive that put fear on us about not having food to eat and not having gas in the 1960s and 70s, because boy, they thought they were full of wisdom then. Hello, do you know that we have discovered more oil reserves and more gas and more ways to get it today, to the point where they're saying now, well, we got at least enough for the next 200 years. No, clowns, you have enough, and as long as the Lord says so until he comes back. Just stop it. Sometimes we are all in fear and worried about stuff that doesn't mean anything. And I tell you what, I love your job that you have today. I'm glad that it's feeding you. But if your job burns down tomorrow, get up the next day excited that you got out of the fire because God has another job for you. Amen? Miss Jeannie, how long did you work at that? Don't say the name. But how long did you work at a certain job? 22 years. And some things didn't work out there, and it wasn't always wonderful, and you felt like the Lord moved you. And some people think that they work at some place for 22 years, they're going to go backwards in pay. They're going to have a bad day. They're going to have a bad time. They've got to start all over from ground zero. But I'm going to make her give her testimony one time, but I am just giving you little highlights of it right now. Jeannie, you worked at a job for 22 years. And now you've started another career. Amen? And I don't want you to say anything about actual numbers, but what I want you to just tell me is from what you worked at in 22 years and worked hard up to and thought you were making and all that good stuff, and now God had to move you to some other place, and you've probably only been there 30, 90 days, somewhere in there. I want you to know, do you feel like you're worse off or better off? What? My goodness, so there's a story right there where a person could work 22 years at a career, get, for whatever reason, job burned down, fire falls apart, whatever could happen. And I'm not saying that's what happened to her. I'm just giving you examples. There's a multitude of reasons why you could be gone from a job that you've invested 22 years in. But hello, with God, you ain't going to go backwards. You're going to go further, quicker, faster, and you're going to say, wow, I should have probably came here years ago, and God's going to say, yeah, you finally listened. Hallelujah. I gave you all the signs before. You just wanted to be doing things your own way. If you had just came to be a braid before like you did this time, we'd been here faster. Amen. I'm just telling you, God is for you, and I really want to put this in your heart. Before we get out of here, I got to find it. There's a little Bible book in the Bible called Micah. Does anybody know where Micah is in the Bible? Is it after Jeremiah or before this or that? After? Oh, my goodness. So Daniel, Hosea, Zechariah, Micah, I found it. Woo. Thank you guys for your help. I'm glad that I was talking about something that is in the Bible. Thank you for your help. Now, Micah chapter 6. Was that a pretty good discovery to see that the Lord says that he expects us to forgive others 70 times 70 in a day? So that lets you know that you got as much mercy with God as I do for the Browns. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, if I can be a Browns fan after 20-something, 30-something, well, I've been a Brown as horrible as they are, and I still wear my Brown shirt and shout for them. And I'm just a man. Don't you think that God can shout for you even if you make lots of mistakes? Because you have an advantage over the Browns. You have an advantage over every other creature on the face of the earth. And I'm going to tell you that advantage in just a minute. But first, we're going to see what God requires of you. Because God's requirements are probably pretty tough, right? What you've been told, huh? And we live in fear, and we get saved, and instead of being, you know, the Bible says this, once you're saved, you have a right to righteousness, peace, and joy. Once you're saved, you don't have a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Once you're saved, you don't have to live under condemnation. Once you're saved, you don't have to doubt your future. You might have to doubt where you get to end up living because it's God's plan where you live. You can have good ideas. Want to follow your grandbabies, but God might make you stay right here in Kenton. Or he might move you away. It's up to him and you, but he's going to try to tell you and have you do it his way. And if you want to do it your own way, he's going to be there to pick you up. Have you ever tried to train your babies how to ride a bicycle or ride something, and you instruct them and you tell them and you go alongside them, and they still don't listen and they end up falling over, don't they? Are you mad at them? No. In back, you pick them up, make sure they're not hurt, you put them back on the bike, and you get them going again. Well, if you can do that over a bicycle, how much more does God do special things over your life? Amen? Now, I want to tell you, we're going to go over God's requirement for you. Are you ready? It is a strict one. And we're going to look at it first here in Micah. And next week, we're going to look at it in the New Testament. But in Micah, it says, Micah verse, what am I looking at? Oh, 6. I got to go to Micah 6. Is there a chapter 6? Yes, there is. Okay, I'm doing good so far. Let's look at verse 8. The Lord God is talking here. We're talking about God. Well, let's go up to 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Isn't it funny how many people are thinking, oh, for what I've done, I probably have to pay a price. God will probably beat me up for the rest of my life. And they're asking, oh, God, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? Hello, let's see what the Lord requires. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. We're going to look next week because really the Bible says that the Lord says, what have I required of ye except that you love me? And when you love God, just like when you love someone, you hear their voice, you honor them, you respect them, and they do what you ask you to do, right? The way you love among people is the way God expects you to love him. In fact, we're going to look again because the Bible makes it real plain. It says that if you cannot love people who you see, Jeannie, you can't love God who you can't see. Because it takes the same way when it comes to people. You got to listen. You got to put up with them when you like them. You got to put up with them when you're mad at them. You got to hear their side, your side. You got to make right decisions, not just for yourself, but for others. And that's what it requires in your love relationship with God. Did I just bring it down to something that you can do? Yes. Karen, do you feel like you can do what I asked you to do? That's why the Bible says that for those who are saved, it's given for us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Everybody acts like it's a big mystery, what God expects. No, it's not. He expects what anybody else would expect. Why can we count on God to expect that? Because he says, Nathan, this is how I want you to love. I want you to love me with all your heart, and I want you to love your neighbor like you would love yourself. Is that hard to understand? Pretty easy, isn't it? That's why we love God, isn't it? Because he's a good God, easy to love. He makes it understandable. Even you can hear the Lord, can't you? Does the Lord speak to you? Yep. You know he loves you, doesn't he? Amen. 12 years old. The Lord says that out of the mouths of babes I perfected praise. The Lord says that I will make it so easy that a child could learn how to love me. It's the same way you work with people. A relationship takes time, investment, honor, responsibility, and reverence. Amen? Boy, I've got to tell you something. Now, you know that Psalms 139 says that people are fearfully, wonderfully made, right? Well, guess what I found out? That recently there was a 1963 Ferrari GTO, and it was restored like brand new. And do you know what? It sold for $70 million here recently. They said that it's about the most a car has ever sold for. And I got to tell you something. It's just an inanimate object. Been rusted before, it's been out in the field, it's been restored, it's had good tires, bad tires, it's pooped out bad oil before and had to have the oil changed, all kinds of stuff. Okay, listen to me. What I'm telling you is a 1963 car, just an old metal piece of rust bucket, was valued by man so much that It was paid $70 million. Here's what I want you to know. Do you know that $70 million couldn't buy your soul? Do you know $70 billion couldn't buy your soul? Do you know that America has $1 trillion-something worth of debt, right? Not enough to buy your soul. You are so precious to God that nothing could buy your soul except for a perfect sacrifice of God himself. Now do you know why the Lord stops heaven on when you get saved and celebrates? Now do you know why God is building you a mansion even before you were born? Now do you know why God is weeping for the nations? Now do you know why God is saying, Alicia, Steve, Bob, Regina, every one of you, God is calling you, protecting you, loving you. You know that God has not slept in all of his existence because of you. Because he made you a promise in the Bible that I will never sleep nor slumber, because I want you to know that even when you're resting, I will be watching over you. You're enough. Say, I'm enough. To keep God from sleeping. I'm enough that God will never turn his eyes from the earth because he loves me. Rota. Now, we're going to go deeper next week. This was just, I really got you to understand. Karen, are you starting to get the picture that you're enough for God? Praise God. Hallelujah. I think you're getting that picture from the way we were talking before service, amen, that we'll keep that amongst ourselves. But I was so glad, Roger, because you're a part of Karen's destiny, who she is today. But who you are, she's been a part of your destiny, who you are, amen? And what's most important is that since I've known you guys, you have let your walls down, and you've let God into your life more than ever. Is that true? And as a result, he's doing great things, isn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that dog still alive? What? Is that the dog that had, what was it called? Pancreatitis. And the dog was old, right? The dog's 15. That kind of dog you got, isn't that like above the normal life expectancy? 17? But the dog had a sickness that was supposed to cause it to die. She should have died, huh? Dogs with pancreatitis, that kind of dog, I bet if you look it up, don't make it 8 or 9 or 10 years. And now you've got it 5 years. And really, the Lord told you that dog was going to die 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, Karen said, if we ask God, do you think God might, what did she say? Oh, Shagada Goriba, huh? I tell you what, I'm going to ask you to change your dog's name to change mine. Because listen, it's a dog that Karen and Roger cared about with pancreatitis, pancreas sickness. This dog was so sick and moving so little that Karen said, if the dog lives, I won't yell at it any longer. Didn't she say something like that? But that dog, listen, she asked the Lord if he would change his mind. Not only did the Lord change his mind, but that dog is strange things. We had a prophecy that strange things would happen here in Kenton. So this is a strange thing. We're allowed to talk about it. But that dog that was dying of pancreatitis, just because Karen said, Roger, do you think God would change his mind? Not only did God change his mind, but he made Karen have to repent of lying. Because she said, oh, God, if you heal him, I'll never yell at him again. I'll never be mad at him again. And I tell you what, that dog has so much energy. I think that's all she's been doing here lately is stop, calm down, get better. Ah, whoa, praise the name of the Lord. Listen, listen. God's willing to do more than you ever think. Pastor, are you telling me that God will help my dog? Yes. But could you just believe him to help you? Could you just believe him to help your children? Could you just believe him to break poverty off of your life? Could you just believe him to stop the repetitive failures and the addictions and going back and falling? Could you just believe that God would take you from depression to non-depression and just keep you there? If he'll keep a dog alive that's dying from pancreatitis and that Karen is never going to yell at again. And she's yelled a few times at the dog. He's still living. And so is she. So God will change his mind and cover your weaknesses. But can you just believe tonight that you are so valuable that that car has nothing on you because you are fearfully, wonderfully made. You're God's creation. You're the only part of creation that God ever breathed his own life in. You're the only part of creation that God died for. He did not die for trees. He didn't die for the mountains. He didn't die for the sky. He didn't die for all of this big world. He only died for man and woman. As I told you, we got two genders. God died for you. Say, the Lord was died for me so I can have life. Don't you think that he would want you to live it? Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare your blessing and your greatness upon your people, Father. Lord, I pray that you're just revealing to them in this series that they're more than enough, that they're more than enough. They're not just enough. They're more than enough, God, that you love them, God, that if they ever thought their children were special, if they ever thought their grandbabies were special, and they are because they're your perfect creations, God, but they need to remember that one time they were as precious as that baby. And you say that you know the end of something from the beginning, so they need to know that you let them see a baby so you would know how much you'd still love them when they're 80, 90, or 100. Hear what I'm saying? The Lord knows the beginning of something, but God knows the end of something from the beginning. And God's believing that we might have some weaknesses in the middle of our life. God knows that we might fall down, we might need a reboot, we might need a restart. But he knew that when you were a child, when you were a baby, God made the decision to die for you. In fact, really, when we were yet in our mother's wombs, when we were 1,000 years out into creation, God still knew us and made the decision to die because he thought we were precious enough, and you're more than enough. God loves you. God is with you. God's redeeming blessing strengthening you even right now. Just hear what I have to say to you in Jesus' name, that right now we're prophetically speaking over your life that God is with you. God has blessed you. God is redeeming you. God is lifting you up right now out of every place. You know, the Bible says that if you were to make your bed in hell, God would come and rescue you. The Lord is redeeming you out of every negative situation. God is redeeming us, straightening us out, helping us. God is loving us. I'm telling you right now that there's nothing too big for God to do in your life. The Bible says that the Lord says, my hand is never going to be too short that I cannot save. God is telling us that he will never leave you or forsake you. And in the mighty name of Jesus, right now we release faith, hope, and love. That you would receive God's word tonight. That all he's required is that you love him like he's loved you. Hebrews 11:6 says that we must come to him and believe and know who he is. And believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he is. God loves you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.